Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 10.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a new year, the year 2023. I'm very happy because a lot of things have happened since the last episode that I recorded last year. I started a new TikTok account, something that I didn't have any intentions to. But the thing is that my students from the academy where I work, they were very persistent. They were very convincing. And in the end, I mean, I decided to try it out and see for myself. Because the problem is that every time I've heard about TikTok and I've seen the videos from TikTok, it's just people dancing and people, you know, doing their stuff. And they're having a good time. But honestly, it's not really my thing. But then I started following accounts of other English teachers teaching English. And I thought that, you know, I could do pretty much the same. And guess what? The account has been followed by a lot of people. And I'm surprised that it's gotten a lot of attention. And in two of the videos, I actually discuss expressions from Spain because, you know, I've been living here in Spain for about 15 years. And of course, I've learned a lot of expressions here, fun expressions. I love the way Spanish people talk. So if you want to follow the TikTok account that I've created, it's brand new. It doesn't even have a month. I will leave the details in the description box below. Today's episode is packed with a lot of practical ideas on how to face the challenges that you've set yourself to learn English. A lot of people talk about the New Year's resolutions and what they can do to improve on their English. Maybe you're thinking about taking one of the Cambridge exams or the IELTS exam or any other exam that can help you boost your CV and demonstrate that you have a great level of English. But just beware, I'm not going to give any magic formulas because honestly, I don't believe in magic formulas when it comes to learning a language or learning any other skill for that matter. I'm a firm believer that when it comes to learning English or any other language, it's basically hard work and it has to be consistent. It has to be nonstop. So I'm afraid to say that there's no magic formula. But before I get started, I would like to play the message that I got from Graciela Hernandez. She's a listener from Costa Rica. She sent me this incredible message through the Facebook page. Take a listen.
Hello, Frank. This is Graciela. I am really nervous, but I decided that today I have to do this audio for you. And well, I want to tell you a little bit about me, a little bit about my story, about my learning story, my English learning story to be correct. My name is Graciela. I am Costa Rican. I am 38 years old. I have been studying English since I was 13. And I consider that I haven't improved a lot, even though I think that I can say a lot of things and that I can express in a lot of different ways. I don't feel as, how can I say this, as proud that I would like to be about myself. And I feel proud about myself, but I would like to be more proud about me, prouder. It will be the correct way to say it. Because, for example, when I work in a call center, but it is in Spanish, but sometimes we receive calls in English, for example. So when I got a call from a native speaker, sometimes it is really easy, for example, when they speak like a teacher. When I listen videos about teachers or and they speak this way that you pronounce everything perfectly. Or for example, when I listen to you, for me, you are like a native. I understand every single word that you say. Maybe some gaps, but really little gaps that I missed. But when I am talking with a native speaker, it is so difficult for me to understand. For example, sometimes I have just to get the numbers of their accounts and I simply don't get them because I don't know why the way they pronounce the numbers. I don't say that that happens to me with all of them, but with many of them. And obviously, I always finish the call and I do my job as I had to do it. But I mean, I don't feel as proud as... I think that proud is not the word that I'm looking for. And that thing frustrates me. And I would like to know about other people. How can we improve, even though I am always listening, for example, audios, and I am trying to imitate other people. Or for example, when I am trying to just imitate the sounds of somebody else, I try to make mirroring, for example. I don't feel that I am improving as fast as I would like to do it. And this is my story. I think that I have been studying English for a long time. I have to be honest, and I have to say that I haven't been as frequent. Frequent is not the word also. I'm trying to look a lot of words, but my mind is black in this moment. Consistent is the word. I am trying to be consistent, but I am not being as consistent as I would like to be. Maybe if I would be, if I had been consistent since I was 13, I would be a master in English in this moment. But the problem is that I am not, or maybe in some years in my life when I was younger, I wasn't as committed as speaker, as an English speaker. And now I decided that I really want to improve, so I have been more consistent. And yes, this is me. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the issues that I think that I have when I speak English. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Ooh, girl, there's a lot to unpack in this message. It was a very long message, but I loved every second of it. The first thing that called my attention was the thing about the native speakers. And the thing is that when people talk to me about not being able to understand native speakers, sometimes, and this is a kind of a thing that I get constantly, just because a person is a native speaker, it doesn't mean that they have a leeway. They don't have the freedom to say whatever they want. One thing you need to do is to separate people from the regional dialects that they speak. I know that the term native speaker is generic, and it's an umbrella term. What we say, it's an umbrella term. It's like generic term that we use to describe a lot of different things that happen under the same idea of, you know, the native speaker, the ideal of the native speaker. But you have to understand that there are a lot of people from many different regions of the US or England or any other English-speaking country, even from India, even though a lot of people don't consider India to be a country where English is a first language, and let me tell you, it's not. They have their education. I know that at home they can speak another language, but they grow up learning another kind of English. And we have so many varieties of English that when you say the word native speaker, is very generic, and it doesn't really tell you anything. But when you talk about, for example, the person being from a certain region of the US or a certain region in the UK, then you are more explicit about the kind of accent that you find difficult to understand. And that, talking about the native speaker idea, we can spend a whole day, a week, and we'll never see an end to the conversation. And I honestly, as an English teacher, I'm a little bit tired of the idea of the native speaker of English being the ideal. It should not be the ideal. The ideal is to be intelligible, to be clear, to be understandable in any situation. And this is what we call English as a lingua franca. I've probably talked about this many times before, but according to experts like David Crystal, there are 3 non-native speakers of English to every native speaker of English. What does that tell you? It tells you basically that English does not really belong to native speakers of English. It belongs to anyone who speaks the language to communicate. And I understand your idea that you want to sound clear, you want to sound more like a native speaker of English, but let me tell you, take it from me. I am a teacher with more than 25 years of experience. I am an examiner. I'm an official examiner, and I've worked with all kinds of exams, not only Cambridge exams, but I've worked with IELTS exams, and I know what I'm talking about. The thing that you understand my English is because it's a very generic variety of English. Technically speaking, I'm not a native speaker of English because I was born in Venezuela. The language that we spoke in my house was Spanish. So the very first language that my ears heard was Spanish. And I learned English later in life, but not too late. Like, I was still very young, and I learned a lot of things just by acquiring the language, not really learning the language. And of course, nowadays, after so many years, I'm 47 now. If you didn't know, I'm 47. After so many years now, of course, you cannot tell the difference. Sometimes you cannot tell the difference whether I'm not from the US or not. But that is completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant to me as an English teacher. It's irrelevant to students as learners. They just care that I have a degree in English language, that I have an accreditation by the University of Cambridge. To be a CELTA teacher, I also have the DELTA. This is what matters. There's qualifications, not the place, not the accident of the place where you grew up, to be honest. I'm very passionate about this because separating people, teachers, as native speakers and non-native speakers of English is very unfair. It's very unfair because I know a lot of people that worked really hard. Sometimes it's easier for me to get jobs because of the way I speak, but that should not be the measure in which, you know, a teacher is selected. And luckily, I have some power at the academy where I work, and I have influence in the decisions to select people, and I make sure that we have a wide variety of accents, we have a wide variety of teachers, professionals, and the most important thing that we do pay attention to is that the person has the qualifications to be teachers. So, Graciela, I hope that you can get this message. Your English is beautiful. I could not detect mistakes. The only mistake that I could hear was you normally forget the preposition to after listen to. For example, you listen to songs, you listen to music, you just the two, and you have this incredible capacity to correct yourself several times in your message. For example, you realize that you made a mistake and you corrected yourself. By the way, proud, more proud, and prouder are all correct. They're all accepted in English. We can say, I cannot feel proud or more proud or prouder. You know, it depends on the dialect, basically, or the place where you grew up. So let me tell you, your English is great. I don't know how much you have learned. I don't know. Of course, you're telling me about your experience, but I haven't witnessed your growth as a learner. But I can say that now that you're 38, I can say that you're a fluent speaker of English. You can communicate easily. And I basically have no problem understanding everything you say. So take it from me. You're a great speaker of English. You're doing great. If you really want to minimize your accent, you want to sound more, I don't know, more like me or more like any other fluent speaker of English, well, there's work to be done. I mean, of course, you can reduce your accent. There are courses that you can take and reduce your accent. My suggestion is that you start digging into pronunciation, more into the details and nuances of pronunciation. And it's not an easy road to follow, let me tell you, from now, because it's not easy. In my case, I have improved a lot in my speaking skills. Of course, I've always had this accent. I've always spoken this way. But of course, when you realize about how phonetics works, how phonology works, you realize that there are a lot of things that you can do, especially because in my case, I'm a teacher. I also do this podcast, and I try to be careful with the way I speak in the podcast as well, because, you know, all the world is listening to you. So let me tell you, Graciela, you're doing a great job. Don't worry too much about sounding like this or sounding like that. Look at the examples of the people that I always use when I tell people, well, this should be your ideal I mean, look at Penelope Cruz, look at Antonio Banderas, look at Salma Hayek, and look at all the people. Look at Sofia Vergara, for example. She's from Colombia, and people have mocked her accent for countless times, and she doesn't care. And look at her. She's become a name, a household name in the U.S. So there's nothing to worry about. I think you're doing excellently. So that was my advice to you. So stay tuned. In the following part, I will start giving you my practical advice on your New Year's resolutions to start improving your English. So I would like to start the first point by saying that learning a new language can be a challenging, but it's also a rewarding experience. It definitely can open up new opportunities, allow you to communicate with a wider range of people, and even improve your cognitive skills, believe it or not. And with the start of a new year, many of us are thinking about the goals we want to set for ourselves and the changes we want to make in our lives. So whether you're just starting out on your language learning journey, I hope not, because my way of speaking is a little further than the typical B1 learners. If you're listening to the podcast, you probably have a B2, C1 or C2 level of English, or you're looking for ways to boost your progress. Let me tell you, this episode is for you. So I will be discussing the importance of setting goals. I will start by that, sharing some ideas for language related resolutions, and offering tips for sticking to those resolutions. So the first thing is that you have to set your goals, and it's a very important step in the language learning process. It helps you focus your efforts and track your progress and stay motivated. But it's important to set goals that are specific, achievable, and measurable. You have to stick to those 3 points. They have to be specific, achievable, and measurable. Specific goals are the ones that are clear and specific rather than vague and general. For example, instead of setting a goal to speak better English, you might set a goal to improve your pronunciation by studying for 30 minutes a day. You can use a lot of apps. I will probably talk about apps in another episode and give you a full review. Of course, apps can help you with very specific things. I'm not a believer, and there are a lot of studies that support this opinion, that apps can help you with very specific things, but they're not really a substitute for very formal language course or having a tutor or someone else to guide you in your learning process. Apps can do a great job in very specific things, but they're not a substitute. You have to be conscious about not wasting your money. So going back to the idea of improving your pronunciation, for example, 30 minutes a day, this specific goal is easier to work toward, and you'll know when you have achieved it. For example, if you want to say a specific phrase, you practice it until you become a master in that phrase. Using tongue twisters, for example, easy tongue twisters can help you improve your production of very specific sounds. There are different countless. I mean, you just Google now, for example, if you want to practice the S's, the easiest one that I always teach my, let's say, B1 learners of English, it's "She sells seashells by the seashore." And it's an easy tongue twister in which they can improve their pronunciation. I also said that goals have to be achievable. So achievable goals are the ones that are realistic given your current resources and limitations. For example, if you're starting out learning English, it might not be realistic to set a goal to become fluent in a year. Forget about it. And if anyone is telling you that you can become a fluent speaker of English like that, like magic, in 2 or 3 months, they're selling smoke. They're not giving you a realistic goal. It's not true. So you have to set an achievable goal. If you want to get to a B1 level, then B1 should be your goal. If you want to get to a B2 level, that should be your goal. And how can you know that? For example, well, you take one of the Cambridge exams. That's a very good way of proving that you have a certain level. Imagine that you want to set a goal to improve your listening comprehension by watching one English language movie a week. For example, it might be more achievable. Measurable goals, the third point that I mentioned, are the ones that you can track and measure your progress towards. This could be as simple as keeping a log, a register of your study time, or setting a goal to pass a language proficiency test, as I said before. So when setting your language learning goal, try to make them specific, achievable, and measurable. This will help you stay focused and motivated and give you a sense of accomplishment when you reach your goal. And that's very important, the sense that you have accomplished something. Now, when it comes to watching films, let me give you a few pointers about when you watch films in English. There are several ways in which you can use movies to help you learn the language. One way to learn English is to watch movies with subtitles in English. This can help you get a sense of how language sounds and how it is used in everyday conversations. You will do reading and listening at the same time. And believe it or not, even when you read silently, there's pronunciation happening in the brain. So pronunciation is a very important element to reading, even in your own language. When you read something silently, in your brain you're pronouncing. Huh, I bet you didn't know that. If you like the movie very much, then you can watch it again, but without subtitles. That way, your brain will work a little harder to really get the sounds. This can help you to get more exposure to the language and improve your listening comprehension. Use movies as a source of vocabulary and idioms. While watching movies, pay attention to new words and phrases that you encounter. Even if you have to stop the film and write it down, you have to keep a record of all the words that you learn and expressions, because sometimes they're a reflection of everyday speech. You can look them up in a dictionary later or try to use them in your own conversations. What movies can you watch? I would probably say that any animated film by Disney would be a great example. Some classic movies that might be good for learners, in my opinion, my humble opinion, could be The Shawshank Redemption, for example, with Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. You can also watch Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks. I know that Tom Hanks has a Southern accent, but it's a very clear Southern accent. Also, you can watch The Godfather, for example, if you're into mafia films and stuff. Also, Titanic. They have this mix of British English and American English, which I think is fantastic. You can also try watching films that are specifically designed for language learners. I don't know of many of them because, honestly, I'm not drawn to that, but you can find, for example, that there are a lot of course books in English that contain a lot of audiovisual stuff, audiovisual material. I have a friend from Moscow, for example, that has been watching Friends over and over for hundreds of times, and his English has improved a lot. And I notice sometimes that he uses a lot of expressions. In my case, in my journey to learn Russian, for example, I find myself repeating expressions from songs that I listen to. So that's one thing you can do. I don't really recommend comedy shows as much as a lot of people might say that they're great, but they're only great for C1 and C2 learners of English because they use a lot of expressions. English is a very quirky language when it comes to comedy. So using them as a source of expressions might be good, but only if you have a very good level of English. So remember once again, your goals must be specific, achievable, and measurable. Stay tuned for the next part. A lot of people talk about stepping out of your comfort zone, and this is the point I would like to talk about now. And for sure, stepping out of your comfort zone, the area where you feel more comfortable, can be quite challenging, but it can also be an important part of the learning process and growth that you want to carry out probably in this new year. And there are some psychological explanations for why it's important to step out of your comfort zone. First and foremost, it helps you overcome fear and anxiety. When you try new things, you face challenges, and you may feel a little anxious or afraid. But stepping out of your comfort zone and facing those fears can build your resilience and confidence. Now, resilience is your capacity to overcome problems and to keep true to yourself. Another point is that it helps you learn and grow as a person. By stepping out of your comfort zone, it forces you to try new things and learn new skills. And this is what is learning English is all about, learning new skills. And there are many skills that you need to develop as an English learner. This can help you expand your knowledge and capabilities and can lead you to personal and professional growth. It also helps you develop new connections and relationships. Believe it or not, when you start doing things on your own, things that you did not do before, you might feel a little strange and awkward, but by trying new things and meeting new people, you can broaden your social circle and develop new connections and relationships. Of course, you sometimes have to do with social media like LinkedIn or any other social media that you can use or in real life. This can be especially important for language learners, as it provides an opportunity to practice and improve your skills with other speakers of English, and also because it helps you discover new interests and passions. When you step out of your comfort zone, it can help you discover new ideas, new things, new hobbies that you probably wanted to try that you may not have otherwise pursued. These can lead to a more fulfilling and meaningful life. Believe it or not, ever since I started the podcast, I've done a lot of incredible things that I would have never dreamed of doing. And it's been a great journey for me. But how can you achieve this in a practical way? How can you make it easy for you to really step out of your comfort zone? What things can you probably do? And what I'm going to tell you, it's nothing new, I'm afraid. It's probably what a lot of people have told you and that you've heard 1,000 times. For example, practicing with other English speakers. If you try, for example, to find a speaking buddy, someone who has pretty much the same level as you, it could even be a person with a lower level. Sometimes I always say that when you teach, you learn twice. And it's evident when you explain things to other people, for some reason it gets internalized in your head. And finding new friends to speak with can be a little intimidating, but it's a great way to improve your pronunciation, vocabulary, and overall fluency. You can join a language exchange program if you can find one, or find, as I said, you can find a language partner online, a speaking buddy, a speaking friend. Another thing you can do is to try use English as much as possible in your everyday life, not only speaking. It doesn't have to be speaking. This could mean listening to music or podcasts, such as mine, for example, and or watching films. As I said in the previous segment, watching films and TV shows in English, or reading books or news articles in English. You can find great websites. And I think the BBC Learning website is a great point to start. There's another one, which is Voice of America Learning English. You can find different levels going from basic to advanced. Even the advanced is not really that advanced. Probably people with a C1 or C2 level of English might find it a little simple. But what I like about it is that most of the articles come with the audio read by a person. It's not read by a computer or any artificial intelligence now that it's become incredibly trendy. The only thing that you might not like is probably that it's a little slow. But if you're a slow learner, you might appreciate the news being read by someone with a great pronunciation at a slow pace. You can listen and pause the recording and then write down whatever you hear. Another thing you can do is attend social events or join clubs or any other kind of organization where English is spoken. You might be surprised. I think it might be a good idea, for example, to make a list of the places in your city where you can practice English. And this can be a great way to meet people who speak English and practice your skills in a social setting. If money is not a problem for you, and if you like traveling, you're the kind of an adventurous person, traveling to an English-speaking country will help you a lot. This can be more expensive, but it can definitely be a great way to immerse yourself in the language and culture. Just by going to the supermarket and doing things that you would do in your own country, but in English, it would be a great help. You can participate in a study abroad program if you're thinking about it, or volunteer abroad. Believe it or not, in Spain, the Royal British Legion is an organization in which you can get involved, and you can work, well, not work, but you will not get paid. You can work as a volunteer, and you can actually do something great for other people. And at the same time, you will get to practice your English skills. In Spain, I know that they have different sections. For example, they have in the north of Spain, in Madrid, they have another section, and in the south, they have another one. And you can, of course, you can donate, but as a volunteer, you will get to meet a lot of incredible people, military people, and their families if you take part in their social programs. That would be a great way to meet incredible people. And you listen to stories. A friend of mine is involved in that program. And if you want to get to know a little bit more about this, just send me an email to podcast@languageteaching.es and I will put you in contact to that friend of mine. And he'll be glad to have you on board. So remember that stepping out of your comfort zone and trying these activities, you will be able to improve your English skills and become more confident in your language abilities. Okay, so imagine that you've set your language learning goals and made your resolutions. You have your wonderful list, but then sticking to those resolutions can be a challenge. I know that a lot of people decide, to lose weight, to, join a gym, or, in this case, we're talking about learning a language or improving your language skills. But sticking to that plan sometimes is a real challenge. I'm going to give you a few tips to help you stay on track. Of course, the first thing is the obvious. You have to make a plan. You have to break your goals down into smaller, more manageable steps to create a plan for you and how you will achieve them. This can help you stay organized and focused. If your aim is to, for example, improve pronunciation, I think finding pronunciation guides online, you can find lots of wonderful websites. In YouTube, for example, you will find people explaining phonology at a very simple level, and mastering every phoneme in the phonetic inventory of English can help you. So you can get acquainted with the phonology, the symbols that we use in phonology. That is a new world, believe me. When you start learning the phonetic symbols, about the phonetic symbols, things will become a lot easier. It's like learning a new language. Trust me, it feels great. And knowing, for example, when you see the dictionary entry and you see the phonetic transcription, you will know exactly how to pronounce the word. So you can break it down into manageable pieces. It doesn't have to be a lot of things at the same time. I think that's the number one mistake. And that's why many people don't stick to their plans. So if it's pronunciation, is that. If it's vocabulary, for example, I know that you want to expand your vocabulary. Don't make lists. I hate making lists of words. Use articles and you will see that words will be recurring and they will be in a topic. They will be in a context in which you will be able to understand them better. Another thing that can help you is obviously finding a friend that will help you stick to the plan. Just like going to the gym alone is not a really good incentive, finding another friend, a study partner, having someone to study with can help you keep accountable and motivated. You can practice speaking with each other, exchange language learning tips, and encourage each other to stay on track. So when one person fails, then the other will come to the rescue. Another thing that you can do is use resources and tools. There are many resources and tools available online to help you learn a new language, such as, you know, online courses or language exchange programs. I said it in the previous segment, podcasts like this one, for example. Take advantage of these resources and use them to supplement your studies. I know that using, for example, apps can help you a little bit. Remember that apps don't teach you a language. They help a lot, but they don't teach you a language. There is substantial research about this, and apps can help you a lot with certain things like vocabulary, remembering vocabulary. I know that, for example, when you learn a new word, you have to recycle it, and there has to be some sort of repetition. And there are apps that can help you with that. Like, the word can come up every once and again, and then you will be able to remember it. And once that word is part of your lexicon, part of your inventory of words, it's going to be very difficult for you to forget about that new word. Another thing that you should do to stick to the plan is reward yourself. And of course, I'm not talking about going to the ice cream parlor and then buy something for you. Of course, that sounds like a good idea. In my case, I love ice cream, but it's not about that. Celebrate your progress and reward yourself when you reach a milestone. A milestone is a moment in your progress that you want to celebrate. And this, we call it milestone because I'm just being a language geek here, but we call it a milestone because it's a stone that you put every mile. I know it sounds silly, but that's how we look at it. A milestone is an achievement. So this can be something small, like a cup of coffee or a piece of chocolate, or ice cream in my case, or something bigger, like a new language learning resource or a trip to another country where the language is spoken. I mean, it could be that to that level. For example, you save money and then you can buy something that you know it's going to be beneficial for your learning progress. And that would be your reward. And finally, I can tell you that you should not get discouraged. I know that learning a language can be challenging, and it's not something that you can really, you cannot see the benefits immediately. You will probably see the benefits in the long run, and that can be a little demotivating, but stay focused, and there will be times when you feel that you're not making progress. I can tell you that. But don't get discouraged. Keep in mind that learning a language takes time and practice. You will not learn to play the piano in a year. You will learn the basics. How long do you think that people spend trying to master an instrument? Of course, the voice, which is our own instrument, and our brain, I mean, of course, it's part of us, but the same analogy can be applied. If you need time to learn and master a new skill, language skills are no different. You just got to keep on practicing and be patient with yourself. With these tips in your mind, you will be well on your way to sticking to your language learning resolutions and achieving your goals. If you have any other ways in which you can stick to that plan that has been beneficial for you, that have worked for you, I am all ears. You can send me an email. You know my email. I always put it. It's podcast@languageteaching.es. And I will be happy to share them, to share your tips with the rest of the world. And the last point that I would like to talk about is finding a good language school. If that is the way you want to go, for example, you want to take classes, you want to find an instructor, or a place that has been authorized by Cambridge English, if you aim, for example, to find a place where you can prepare for the Cambridge Assessment English exams, I'm going to give you some ideas that you need to ask the person in charge or at reception when you look for information, this is what you need to keep in mind. The very first thing that you need to do is a level test, and it's going to be quite informal. Of course, you will have to take a written test. It's mostly grammatical and in terms of vocabulary. This will give the language school some idea of where to put you. But you have to talk about your goals. When you have the interview with the person in charge of doing the level test, you have to tell them what your motivations are. They will not know anything about you if you don't tell them what motivates you to learn English. Whether it is for work reasons or for personal reasons, for travel reasons, you need to have a motivation. If you don't have a motivation, it's going to be harder for them to place you in the right group with the right teacher. Another thing that you need to ask is, and this can help you definitely, evaluate the effectiveness of their language program, is what books they use, if they use a course book, or if they use their own material. If the school does their own material, that's good, that's great. But I would say that basing their preparation, especially if you prepare for Cambridge exams, I think using well-tested and renowned material from great publishers like Macmillan or Pearson or the same Cambridge, of course, that will give them an advantage that will not be available in other schools of English. If that material has a lot of resources that you can actually use, that will be a lot better. Because I know that publishers nowadays, not only do they offer the books and the workbooks and the audio and everything, they also offer online platforms where you can practice your language skills and you can do extra exercises. You have to ask if extra exercises are available. Of course, the language school will tell you that yes, they do have extra material, but it's very important that you can fulfill your needs in the same place. If you pay for a language course, you have to make sure that they, not only do they offer you the material, but they can offer you a wide range of options where you can practice your language skills, doing exercises. And if it's for exam preparation, it's even better because they need to provide with extra material, extra exercises that you need to do. Another thing is that making sure that the professionals, the people working at the school, are well prepared. If it's a preparation center, most probably the teachers will have a very good preparation in terms of teaching exam skills. Teaching exam classes is not exactly the same as teaching regular classes. When it's classes only to improve your communication skills, that's great. I mean, there's a lot of speaking going on and you'll get to meet a lot of incredible people and other, you know, you can do a lot of fun things in English. But when it comes to exam preparation, there's another type of balance. I mean, you have to find people and the teachers need to have a very strong preparation, a strong foundation. They need to know the exam back and forth. They need to know their way around and they need to have a lot of experience. So making sure that the teachers have a TEFL certificate. If they have the CELTA, it's even better. But if they have a TEFL certificate, an initial accreditation that establishes that the person has a good amount of preparation, that would be very comforting. I mean, that would make you feel that you're in the right place. And I'm not talking only about the place where I work. All the teachers at the language school where I work are prepared. They all have accreditations, either by Cambridge or other institutions, but you need to make sure that they have the preparation. And also make sure that if you know, or you can ask the question, if the teachers receive training, it's very important that teachers get the proper training. We call it professional development program, and a good language school will always have a continuous professional development program. And that needs to be built into the idea of the language school. I mean, because teachers, I know that when years pass and teachers get, you know, laid back and when they get the experience, I know they get laid back. And when there's a continuous program like this one, I know that teachers keep on their toes. They need to be ready for new challenges and for new ideas. And if the teachers communicate with each other, that's even better. So you have to make sure that you know that from that school. And don't be afraid of asking these questions. If the person in reception cannot or is not able to answer them, then ask to speak to the head of studies or to the director of the school, the principal, or any other person, the supervisor who's in charge, or even an English teacher. One of the teachers can easily give you answers to these questions. And it's very important because putting your learning process in the hands of experts, people who know how to prepare others in terms of language skills, that can be very reassuring. That I know that having that clear will give you the confidence, will give you the peace of mind that you need in order to just let yourself go with the flow. And this is the end of the first episode of the year 2023. I'm very happy that you're still following me. I'm getting a lot of feedback, amazing feedback from my new TikTok account. Remember that I will make it available. I will tell you where you can go and watch me doing silly things in English. I think it's going to be a little bit like my playground in English. And it's not only for exam preparation, of course. It's going to be for culture and other things that you might, you know, want to learn about English. It's becoming quite successful, and I'm very happy with the reception. I think I'm getting from TikTok what I don't usually get with this podcast. I mean, the immediate feedback. People can comment immediately, and I know how much the video has been shared, and it's usually very quick. I mean, it's like 2-3 minutes per video. I know that attention span in TikTok is not really that good. I cannot make like long videos or podcasts in the app. I know that it has to be very quick and to the point. So make sure that you check it out and let me know what you think. And I'm very excited about the new challenges that this year will bring. I'm very optimistic that this is going to be the year for a lot of people, not only for me, but a lot of people around me. So stay tuned for new things. This year I'm going to be introducing new things that I introduced late in last year. New ways of learning the language. I mean, not only speaking, but also reading and writing. And, you know, vocabulary as well. A little bit like I did with, you know, last summer with a mini cast. I think I will transfer the mini cast to TikTok. I think that the 4 or 5 minute format will fit just fine, but of course with video, and it's going to be, you know, like really nice and dandy. So stay tuned. Let me know what you think about this new year. And if you liked my list of how to keep up with the new year's resolutions. So thank you very much. And until next week, bye-bye.